This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Spooktacular! How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us. It's the annual Halloween episode of the DA Show. Everybody's dressed up here. Hooray for Halloween! Even though it's a COVID Halloween, we are celebrating like it's 2019 around here. Pete the Body Bilotti's dressed up as his own drop.
French onion dip with bacon.
With bacon. He is his own drop. He is dressed up as bacon and has a can of French onion dip. Brilliant. Andrew Bogish is dressed up as the Wizard of WatchDA.com. He's dressed up as Andrew Kaplan, where he has a wizard's hat and a wizard's wand and the WatchDA logo, which you could be watching us at WatchDA.com, as I just mentioned, or on Twitch, the CBS Sports Radio handle there. Mraz is dressed up as one of the monsters from Monsters, Inc. The rest of his family also dressed up as Monsters, Inc. as well, including his dog, Eli, who quickly shed the costume within about 30 seconds of being on camera. I am Bob Ross, the 1980s friendly, happy painter, and I am painting something for the entire show that I will unveil this hour. I've also painted a portrait, really more drawn a portrait, of our guest, annual guest to the Spooktacular, Katie Linadal, who is in as the Penguin from Batman Returns, Danny DeVito's character, Chester Cobblepot?
Dude, Oswald Cobblepot.
Oswald
Cobblepot!
Sorry. Chester Copperpot was the guy that died in Goonies. Sorry, that's my bad.
And
I did do a little portrait, if you're watching Watch DA, of the heroine of Halloween, the queen of costumes. That would be Katie Linadal, who is in studio with us, as she always is.
But what happened during break is I actually spit bile from my mouth because I... And it got, like, all over, speckled all over the portrait, which to me made it more authentic.
I would say so.
I mean that in the best way possible, because this is a work of art.
I have one unveil here, one reveal for the guys watching and Watch DA... The guys watching back at the studio, all of your listeners as well, all of you listeners, and that is that Bob Ross's costume's not just from the neck up. Yes, I have an unbuttoned blue shirt down to my chest hair, what little I can grow. But also remember, this is tucked in to tight jeans. So you have the black belt and the tight 80s jeans.
Oh, and that jumper.
Oh, my gosh. Is that from the Five and Dime? This is.
So we got the whole thing going on right now. And we're going to have videos behind the scenes with Katie on Instagram. So follow me at Damon Amendo. And I'll also tag Katie in there as well. If you're not following Katie, if you're following me, you can then follow her through the tag at Damon Amendo. As soon as the show is over, we'll post videos behind the scenes of Katie in this unbelievable outfit. Mraz, we've had a lot of great outfits and costumes here on the show in the Spooktacular for years now. I think she crushed everything else we've ever done here on the show.
Doesn't she always? I mean, how about the year she came as the essence of Space Jam? I mean, every year, Katie crushes it. Like, we get so excited for this, and it's such a great show every year, but it's basically a no contest, whatever we could do. I tried to trot my daughter out here as a prop to make it, you know, interesting, and she comes in as Oswald Cobblepot and just crushes it.
Yeah, Katie has a walk-off today. I mean, this is...
Yes!
She just smashed it into the third deck. We're like, yep, nope. That's better than us. This is like watching Michael Jordan in the slam dunk contest. This is basically like when Larry Bird's in the three-point contest and says, who's coming in second? She just walks in, and we're all like, yep, nope, she won. Yeah, that's a win.
The only way for us to win is somebody empty out the wallets and hire Alessio away, and then they can come do our costume makeup.
That's right.
I just think it's amazing that Katie has spent more money on a suit for a costume while Sean has a pair of dress pants.
Yeah, right. One pair of dress pants.
No, I got two now. I found another pair I got from Stephen Barry's back in the day.
Also, by the way, her code of honor is she only wears a costume once. This is the only time she will wear this costume for us on the show for an hour and a half. That's it. She's not going out on Halloween with this. There's no Halloween costume party with this. There's no anything. This is just the only time. So bow down to the legend because you spent 4 days getting into this costume. Wear it for 90 minutes and then go home and take it off. And from what Alicia tells me, she says it takes almost as long to take it off with the prosthetics as it does to put it on.
Yeah, so when you put these prosthetics on, I just want to rip it off because I'm like, you know, I'm a little hyperactive. You can't do that. That's a no-go. You'll start to rip your skin off. So it takes as long, she is correct. I've learned this, to take it off as is to apply it.
Now, Mraz has in front of him right now on camera the king-size box. And this was because of your advice last year to only go king-size.
It's one of my life goals to give king-size candy bars to kids. And we talked about this last year. Mraz, we had way too long of a discussion about how it was like an extra $30. And I'm not saying $30 isn't, you know, a lot. I'm a coupon fan myself. But let's be generous, okay? Let's give it to the people and everybody level up and give the king size. Everyone remembers the house that gives the king size candy bars. Am I wrong?
I'm that guy. Katie, I'm not trying to get anybody's pockets. I have 90 king size bars. You're doing 120. I figured 90 because you never know with the COVID. It cost me $45 for candy. I could do that for 1 year to make these kids happy. Let's go. Got big Kit Kats.
Well, y'all are
going to
get the repeats too. Once people know you got the king size, they're going to be coming back around.
Oh, you think I got to worry about that?
I know.
Do a walk around the block? Oh, I'm keeping
tabs. Don't get mad, though. It's Halloween. Respect it.
No, one per customer. You're out.
Yeah, when you go to the Mraz household, you get your hand stamped, and then he checks your hand before you come back.
That's a good idea.
Hand licked at the Mraz house. I've tasted this before.
Yeah. Come here, kid. Let me smell your hair. No.
I remember at all.
You came around here before.
Ooh, that's you, Kenny. I know it is.
I'm arrested by the end of the night. I just wanted the full-size Snickers to hand out.
You start throwing red challenge flags on kids. No. I saw that skeleton 20 minutes ago.
Oh, DA. Speaking of throwing a challenge flag, can we throw a challenge flag at DraftKings?
Yeah, we were just talking about the story where the kid that won $1 million or the dude that won $1 million had it taken away because of a statistical error.
Listen, I think we all collectively on the DA show need to speak on behalf of this poor 41-year-old insurance agent from St. Louis, if I recall.
Okay.
The man deserves the $1 million. This isn't something we can start a GoFundMe on. The call is out to you, DraftKings, to do the right thing. You have the money. We know this. Make this man's year. He's already told his friends. He has to call him back. You know how awkward that is? Oh, actually, I didn't win $1 million. They're gonna be like, what's wrong with you? This guy is in the worst state of mind right now. It's a rough year. 2020. It's been hard on everyone, especially him. Right,
yes,
DA?
Yes, absolutely. This is from Monday night. They had a sack change to a tackle for a loss on Jared Goff. The guy thought he won $1 million. It said that he won. Then they changed the stat after the game, took away the $1 million. He won $3,000. So absolutely, DraftKings should step up and do this. It is just hysterical to watch you as the Penguin, a superhero comic book villain, plead for somebody to do something right. Hey, come on, let's do the right thing here. I'm the Penguin.
Yeah, because I'd rather take that $3,000 and put it in the toilet. Give the guy $1 million.
I'm the most charitable villain ever. Please help out everybody, Gotham.
Yeah.
Come on, Gotham DraftKings.
What goes underreported there is also the time he must have called when the game ended. So, you know, whatever, it's an hour behind. Still, it's 10:30, and people are in bed. He's waking people up to tell him he won $1 million. And then has to re-wake them up to tell him he did.
That's right.
Mortifying.
That's right. Midnight. I mean, imagine calling up your whole family and friends. Hey, I just won $1 million. And then you've woken them up. The next morning, you've got to text them. Hey, dude, I know I texted you last night. Yeah, I'm not rich. Sorry.
Oh. Yeah, Jake from State Farm just got screwed. Let's help this man out.
So Katie is here, and daylight savings is coming up.
That was from one complaint to the other. This is off brand for me.
So on Sunday morning at 4 a.m., clocks turn back. We lose an hour. Remember, fall back, spring forward. We lose an hour. Now, this does mean you get an extra hour of sleep on this day. So that's good. So at 4 a.m., you got to turn it back to 3 a.m. or at some point in the night, what have you. So you get the extra hour. Katie is here with a product to help us through daylight saving time coming up.
I am sure my client, GE Lighting, who I've had the opportunity to work with for years, is thrilled to see me as Oswald Cobblepot speaking about their products. Because listen, here's the honest deal. I have been complaining about daylight savings. How long have we been complaining about daylight savings for? Years?
As long as we've been alive.
Years. Years. And also, I should make note that there are bills to the House to get daylight savings erased. If it wasn't 2020, I would put my Vegas odds on the fact that it would be going away.
Thank goodness. Because some states and townships don't abide by
Arizona and Hawaii.
Yeah. So what are we doing here?
I'm not sure, but what we are going to do is use gadgets and technology. This whole week, I've been like promoting awesome tech that can help you stay safe and stay visible. I like how I'm watching myself as like, talk about technology as Oswald Cobblepot, the Penguin.
But as I have this giant prosthetic, terrible looking nose and black is pouring out my mouth, let me tell you about some light bulbs.
It's so smart. The technology is incredible. But seriously, the dusk to dawn bulbs, can I say? You put these out on your porch? You put these in a lamp in the living room? They actually turn on automatically when the sun goes down. They turn off when the sun comes up. Ooh. So you got yourself some extra security. And let me tell you a nerdy statistic. 13 years this bulb lasts. 13 years. They don't got those in Gotham City. Nope.
Which is about as long as it's going to take off the prosthetic nose.
Also true. Also true.
Let me tell you about saving money on light.
You want the motion sensor technology to keep the penguins out? They got those bulbs too. You can create a perimeter with up to 30 lights linked together. It's genius technology.
It's really dark in the Batcave. Bruce Wayne, you might want some light.
Yes. Well, hope that went well. But in all seriousness, I have been doing daylight saving segments all week to try to give people better options for your 3 p.m. darkness.
Well, that Thank is you. Depressing. Why are we turning back the clock for less sunlight? It's already getting dark early. It's already getting dark early. Why are we then going to lose an extra hour? Look, I love farmers. I live amongst the farms. I love, love, love farmers. I grew up around farms. I love farmers. But if we're doing this for farmers, can't farmers turn their clocks back and we just live normally? What's going on?
But I actually think you're wrong because I did the homework and it said that this dated back to 1916 in World War I to save electricity for artificial lighting. I don't know if that's true or not. Nobody seems to have an answer. We need to do a man on the streets like, why is there daylight saving?
It doesn't make any sense though because it means we got to turn on lights later in the day because when it's dark now at 5, it's going to be 4 o'clock instead. I mean, I guess you save lights in the morning. I don't know what this is about.
If we're having this dialogue, it should not be happening.
There's no question.
It's for the kids at the bus stop, right?
What do you mean?
Like, they don't want them in darkness at the bus stop. That's why we do it.
You think that's why we do it?
Dude, not one person has said that's why there's daylight savings.
I'm pretty sure that's why there's daylight savings. And the reason you do it after Halloween is there's enough light out for the kids to trick-or-treating.
Really?
Bogus, back me up here as a father. Is that not why we do this now?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that daylight savings precedes the invention of school buses, so I don't know if that's the actual.
No, but that's the reason. But that's the reason that they have continued this now. That is at least what they pulled out of their hat, is that they don't want kids in darkness at school buses in the morning.
I mean, it's not dark at 8:10 in the morning when my kids will be on the school bus normally. So
well,
I don't.
Kids get on the bus. My bus picks up kids at 7:15 out here. It's pitch black out.
Yeah, no, I can't help you with that one, Shawnee. I'm sorry. I've heard the two things they just mentioned: farmers and then like wartime savings. But I've never heard school buses.
I bet you the tweeters and what's that other thing where the twitchers will tell me. I'm right.
Eat them, tweeters and twitches.
The worst is I usually get the DA staring at me like, Mirage, you're an idiot in normal face, but I have Bob Ross and the Penguin staring at me like I'm a complete idiot. And it's just making things more awkward and uncomfortable for me.
While you're wearing a monster hoodie, too.
Right?
Yeah. I just love, at this point, anytime you try to say something serious, you're doing it in the most ridiculous costume ever. Mirage is like, no, it's definitely about saving kids' lives, as he wears a Monsters, Inc. costume. With a ton of king-size Butterfingers stacked up next to him. All right, let's take a break here. I want to talk about potentially a socially distanced 20% capacity Super Bowl. Does that feel like the Super Bowl? We'll do that coming up here next on the Halloween Spooktacular episode of the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
Well, we all got sick, so now I'm the only one making DA money? They're not getting exposure from the DA show? Well, I got pork store money. There's pork store money now.
That's a drop.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And ironically, the pork store was canceled after 10 episodes. That money dried up real quick. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. It's the Halloween Spooktacular here on the DA Show. We thank you all for watching at watchda.com on any device, as well as on Twitch on the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch. And it is time to finally say goodbye to our friend and our guest this morning, as always, Katie Linadal, a.k.a. Oswald Cobblepot, who is, of course, the Penguin from Batman Returns, the Danny DeVito character. She has absolutely crushed it this morning. We thank her very much for her hours this morning in getting ready. And then also just always taking it to the next level. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie Linadal, as well as on Instagram at Katie Linadal. So please follow her there. She's got some cool behind-the-scenes stuff. Of stuff that's happening here with us on the show. So she's got some behind the scenes looks. I've also got it on my Instagram, so you can follow me there to find the Katie link as well, to follow her there at Damon Amendo. This has been a lot of fun. You even brought the umbrella and what sounds to be your army of penguins downstairs in my living room.
Got the army of penguins, DA. Every year, the Halloween Spooktacular, I just very much look forward to it. It's definitely better than Gotham City. I want to thank Bogish. I want to thank The Body. I want to thank Raz and his whole family, who looks way better than he does. No offense, lots of offense. And I look forward to this again next year. I was trying to get the penguin sound effects to come up faster, but my face ID was not recognizing me. I'll leave it on that note.
As the penguin slides off camera, the penguin is trying to get the penguin's iPhone 10 to figure out that it was the penguin's face to get those sound effects of actual penguins downstairs. Just amazing. So the Super Bowl is saying, the NFL says, we still want, how do you transition? With bacon. I don't know what I'm going to do here.
The palette, is you waving the paint palette. So the Super Bowl
with bacon.
What do you do? I don't know. The show's already gone. It's 9:23 Eastern time. I got like 34 minutes to go. What do you do here?
That's super.
Is there a penguin on your floor right now? Is she okay?
Katie just slid off of set, fell over, and started flapping her wings. Ah! Is the show over, DA? Do you need another Geico read?
Oh, could we get her to read the one about crossing the tracks?
Remember, trains don't stop. You need to.
It's a.
Nitsa. Make sure you don't get hit by a train. By the way, Mraz, there's actually been some support for you on Twitter about the bus stop theory about why we do daylight savings time so that the kids aren't at the bus stop in the dark in the morning.
I told you, I've been hearing this for like the last 10 years when you put on the news. There's always the debate that comes up around this time. A lot of it's around the kids.
Right, it's why people want to keep daylight savings. I thought about why it started in the first place. That was why my response was the way it was. But that's like apparently now a popular defense of keeping it.
Yes, that's what I mean. Who cares about how it started? I wasn't alive 400 years ago. I care about now.
Well, I would have figured that the reason that it started is the reason we're still doing it. I didn't think that it started right for a real reason, then suddenly became a fake reason.
Well, I think it evolves. I think you realize the original reason is stupid, so then you move on and you weigh the pros and the cons of why it exists, and you go, well, hold on, this has been a real benefit here. This is why we need to keep it.
Again, Mraz is making these claims as he's dressed as Monsters, Inc. with horns coming out of his head and one eyeball.
Wazowski.
So this Super Bowl thing here, guys, the NFL is going to hold the Super Bowl, as we all know, no matter what, hell or high water, there is going to be a Super Bowl. Roger Goodell has said, damn the torpedoes, we're going to damn play this game. And they might play with 20% capacity, like maybe we saw with the World Series. So the question is, does the Super Bowl feel like the Super Bowl if it's at 20% capacity in Tampa Bay? Mraz, what do you think?
I mean, I think that's fine. I think it'll feel like we've watched sports all throughout the year. I think it's a win for everybody if that's what we get.
Bogues?
Yeah, I mean, we're used to it by now. It's going to feel like everything else has fell recently. I'm actually just surprised to hear that the NFL even said this yesterday, put any kind of number on it in October, almost November, when we're still four full months away, giving people a reason to be upset with just 20% capacity.
I thought the same thing. I said, we haven't hit November 1st. It's not even midpoint of the season. Why do you need to establish guidelines for the Super Bowl? Unless you are worried that people are worried there's going to be zero fans. You just want to make sure that people don't think there's going to be zero fans. But again, you don't have to establish this at this point in time. You can get to this in January.
Well,
I mean, I guess
this was, guys, remember, this is ESPN reporting this. The NFL has come out and said they're not confirming or denying it.
It just seems weird that they would have those conversations already unless they're worried about selling tickets already because you buy your Super Bowl ticket so far in advance.
Maybe. And the hotels, maybe Tampa's worried.
I thought the league's response was just clarification that this is not a final decision, that they have plans of 20% capacity fully prepared to go north of that if the situation allows. So I mean, that's what I read yesterday. Okay. Either way, I mean, it's on. They've discussed it. And the fact that they've said anything out, you know, and they were kind of prompted, I guess, to say something out loud about it. But yeah, I don't know why, what the motive would be, DA, to even like throw this around now, because my guess is they're selling tickets and will give you your money back if you can't be in. I don't even know what they're doing.
I would think so too.
From a logistic standpoint.
I would also say guessing what stadium capacity is going to be in February or maybe March, if they have to push this back a couple of weeks, but certainly mid-February, is a fool's errand. There's no way for us to know what this thing looks like in February. Just the same way, think about having fans of the World Series this past week. If you were to guess that we were going to have fans or no fans 5 months ago or 4 months ago, which is where we are at with the Super Bowl, there's no way you would have predicted we'd have fans in attendance at the World Series. So I just don't understand anybody having these conversations at this point in time. I will also say, I thought by and large, the fan thing worked at the World Series. We don't know if there was outbreaks. We won't know if there's contact tracing for it. But the fact of the matter is, having some fans in attendance at the World Series was definitely better than no fans. So the Super Bowl with 20% is absolutely better than 0%.
Yes, and I think every NFL game that we've watched, the games, even if it's been 500 fans or 5,000 fans, and the cameras can shoot to them, it feels just more normal. So, and I also think part of this with the NFL, look, what have they gotten crushed over the last 3 weeks? How did you not pre-implement a week 18 in case you needed this? And they've kind of gone with the flow. So they're pre-implementing having a plan here with the full expectation or hopes that they can go north of that number. I think it's totally fine to have those conversations and be prepared and basically have it out there that we will not have a fanless Super Bowl. We're going to get to the point where we have fans, and this is our base number we have, and hopefully we can grow from there. They're just being prepared. I don't think there's wrong with that. They're getting crushed for not being prepared on the other end.
I guess. I just think it's kind of like the Big Ten situation. Don't make a decision till you have to make a decision, and you don't in October have to make a decision of how many fans. You just don't. You could absolutely say, hey, we don't know where we're going to be in February. We're going to wait until we see. I mean, at least give it till December. Who knows what this whole thing looks like in February?
That's true. I guess what's the magic date? I mean, you don't want to make this decision the first weekend of the playoffs, right? I mean, people got to start preparing, normal people that might go to the Super Bowl. Do they have a chance to go?
I don't know. If it's 20%, who's the regular people preparing to go to the Super Bowl this year? There's only going to be, 15,000 fans there? So yeah. you're going to make an announcement based on 15,000 people?
Yeah, and
that's going to be... Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Super Bowl ticket distribution is weird too, right? Teams get a certain amount.
Right.
So who knows who the fans are.
Is there ever going to be a real fan in the building, or is it just going to be the teams, the two teams get their allotment, the NFL gets its allotment? It's only 15 probably thousand people. I mean, I don't know. I just didn't understand the announcement yesterday. Bogish has his headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
These ones are sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All other Dodgers and all the Rays tested negative for COVID-19, so they were allowed to leave Texas last night. Justin Turner and his wife, though, are still there. While MLB investigates the Dodger third baseman for breaking isolation and returning to the field to celebrate with his teammates 2 nights ago. Meanwhile, first it was the Lakers, then it was the Dodgers, so it's up to the Rams to keep it going for LA. Here's their QB, Jared Goff.
That's the first thing you hear is all right, now it's your turn. And we've talked to as a team. These two teams have done it. You know, now it's our turn, and it's you know something that we'd like to do. Yeah.
The Rams' title pursuit continues Sunday afternoon in Miami. Is that a new costume for Katie? DA?
That right there is Rosie the cat, who is being a butterfly.
I love it.
For Halloween.
I love it.
She's, look, Rosie cakes. Look, you got the butterfly up there.
Oh,
look at that.
I love when animals dress as other animals for Halloween. To me, I think that's a win.
Blows my mind.
Like somewhere you think a butterfly is going, I wish I could be a cat this year. You know, it's unbelievable.
It reminds me of my zoo trips when I was a kid.
That's how all of Merez's insects look. They were cats with wings on them.
Tonight in the NFL, we have the Panthers and Falcons in Carolina. They played 4 weeks ago with the Panthers winning, but a lot has changed for Atlanta since then.
They don't have the same coach.
Thank you, Teddy Bridgewater. Christian McCaffrey is still
technically... I'm excited for this game. We talked about this yesterday. Nobody else cares. I think this is a fun game tonight.
It's two non-playoff teams. The Panthers, I don't
think
they're
going to make it. Carolina wins. They're in the mix for that last wild card. And I think the Matt Rhule story in Carolina, that was a team before the year. Everybody thought they're going to be picking top three in the draft, you know, dressing your Ben Franklin outfit. And Matt Rhule's done a heck of a job. If they go beat the Falcons, Falcon misery is a fun story. And Carolina beat a fun, spunky Teddy Bridgewater redemption on the way back trying to make the playoffs. It's a fun game tonight to root for Carolina.
You definitely got to give Matt Rhule and the Panthers credit. They should be worse than this. I just don't think they have the staying power to be in the playoffs. Although getting McCaffrey back is a big deal, I do give them credit for this, though. They have played hard. They have played tough. And Matt Rhule, very obviously, paying good early dividends for the Panthers.
Look, we all know what last night felt like, right? What the heck were we watching? There was nothing. I almost had Hubie Halloween on last night. You get Falcons, Panthers. There's no more NBA, NHL, or baseball. Soak up tonight, please, because you never know when we're near not having sports again.
I also think we might have a fun-ish weather game tonight because I believe Charlotte's going to get a bunch of this rain from the tropical storm that's plowing across the country, plus wind. So you might get some. And the Falcons, as a non-Falcon fan, are entertaining. They do score some points. They create drama, giving up leads. So this one, I'm with Sean. This one might be relatively entertaining tonight.
That's true. If the Falcons can get about a 17 to 21 point lead, we are in for a wonderful collapse. So that should be kind of entertaining tonight.
The Falcons, by the way, are holding out defensive end Tack McKinley tonight. Apparently, technically, it's a groin injury, but the assumption is they are protecting him so they can trade him by Tuesday's deadline. The Cowboys tried to trade D-tackle Dontari Poe and cornerback Darryl Worley yesterday. They couldn't, so those two guys got released. And again, Jerry Jones last night blaming Poe's exit on his weight and lack of production. Some bad recruiting news this morning for Texas. In-state high school QB Quinn Ewers has decommitted from the Longhorns. He's the number one recruit in the class of 2022. Ohio State is now apparently the favorite to get him. Paul and Steven Silas are the fifth father-son head coaches in NBA history because Steven is being put in charge of the Rockets. But I ask, can dad build a backyard bar while son becomes the funniest person ever from their town? We don't know. Steven has 20 years experience as an NBA assistant, most recently in Dallas.
Daryl Morey is about to become my boss.
Head of basketball operations in Philly and MLS last night. LAFC clinched a playoff spot with a 2-1 win in Houston, and Philadelphia topped Chicago 2-1 to take over number one in the Eastern Conference for now. DA, back to you.
Mraz, did you ever think that your dad would be a drop on the show?
I never in a million years, never in a million years. And we might get more of that. As you guys know, we have a big pregame show coming to the house on Monday night for Monday Night Football Giants Bucks, which we'll get into.
We'll talk about this either tomorrow or Monday, but another camera crew, another television station is doing another profile on Bob's Bar. What
Go Big Blue
is going on? What is going on?
Come on in. This is my bar.
This show tends to drift into absurdity. And sometimes it's hard to tell what's the show and what's real life. And this is one of those things where you go, this is the second TV crew and the third media outlet to be profiling Mraz's dad's outdoor bar. Where does reality end? I don't understand. The show is absurd.
Bars don't get pub like this.
Yeah, I know.
Really? Real small businesses have struggled through 2020, and Bob's got the Post and multiple TV outlets coming on through.
In New York.
With no liquor license.
70% of restaurants and bars are going under. And yet, Mraz's dad's bar has had three media outlets that has wanted to profile it. Doesn't make any sense.
Sunday brunch changed
everything. He's declining interview requests now.
Mraz's dad's bar has changed menus more often than my restaurant in town.
Unbelievable.
When we come back, I'm Bob Ross today, and so I have painted a picture for the gang here on the show. I'm going to unveil it coming up next. We'll be watching at watchda.com and on Twitch using the CBS Sports Radio channel there. We'll unveil that, Advanced Analytics, and your epic fail next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Let's go!
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Today's poll question, did you ever actually search your candy bag for razor blades on Halloween? 67% of you said no, which is kind of amazing that a third of you said yes. There were 200 confirmed cases of candy tampering in the U.S. and Canada since 1958. Again, there's only been 200 cases of candy tampering since the late 50s. For as long as the Dodgers have been in Los Angeles, there's been a total of 200 cases in the U.S. and Canada. Talk about blowing something out of proportion, because when we were kids, I know growing up in the 80s, it's all about stranger danger, don't do drugs, and make sure you're checking your candy for razor blades and all types of difficult stuff. Like what? A California dentist named William Shine in 1959 distributed 450 laxative-laced candies to children. This is the biggest scandal on record. 30 of whom fell ill. He was later charged with outrage of public decency and unlawful dispensing of drugs. Imagine being the old man in 1959 in Fremont, California, who tries to give all the kids of the neighborhood diarrhea.
I mean, at least it's not a razor blade, right? A little laxative. It's all right. A little cleanse.
You know what? I'm going to do a deep dive on this Bill Shine guy for tomorrow's show.
You might be looking like Bill Shine looks.
That's true. So my costume today is the great Bob Ross, the late great artist who spent many an afternoon on PBS and other assorted cable channels in the 80s and 90s, teaching people how to paint happy little trees and mountains and landscapes. And so I thought that by being Bob Ross, I would also draw something / paint something for the crew here on the show. And so I am finished with my masterpiece. I think you guys are going to be happy with it. I hope that you are. This is going to be hanging atop the mantle above the fireplace in the mothership. Here it is, what I've been working on over the course of the show. What do you think?
I have to look at the other one. Okay. Oh, look at that. It's like the PGP picture.
It is. It's all four of us here. Merez, just like you see on the cover of the PGP, eating a slice of pizza. That is me with a teddy bear, listening to hear what the teddy bear tells me when to go out to break. That is Andrew Bogish with his Zubaz bandana. And Pete the Body Bilotti staring over the top of us, making sure we are not late to the update. Okay?
Well,
wearing a green Jets hoodie.
Now, I think this is fantastic. I actually can't believe that you did this and the Katie picture. It almost looks like somebody else had to have done it for you. Although, I will say, not to rub salt in the wound, Pete did come out looking like somebody who can never be named, who Bart Scott once confused Pete for. That's who Pete looks like there. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't want to bother Pete, but that is an unbelievable job, D.A.
It's amazing. How did we not know you could do this for so long? How did you keep this a secret?
I don't know. How do you ever, like, put on display that you can actually draw, you have some artistic talent? There's no excuse to ever do art when you're an adult.
D.A., you have a head with your teeth behind you. You've had a D.A. Show logo we came up with. At no point did you doodle anything and put in front of us and go, hey, guys, what do you think? I drew this. Do you think this would work for a logo?
I think I like the best part about this is that Mraz looks like Taylor.
I do. I do. I look like Taylor eating pizza. You're absolutely right, which is why she needs to grow hair.
What's that thing on top of my head?
That's the glare from the studio lights.
Ah, okay.
Oh, there we go. Pete thinks you gave him, like, some kind of mark on his head now. That is what's going through his mind.
I have to be honest, guys. I did the Katie picture. I didn't do this. I actually had an artist do this. I think the artist actually did it pretty good.
I think he did awesome. Yeah. I can't believe you did the Katie picture.
Great job.
Like, that's still astonishing.
The Katie picture was a little easier because, you know, that was just kind of like a cartoon. This had to be kind of a bit of a profile of all of us.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah, I love the shading of the red on the Bogish thing. That is unbelievable.
That is excellent.
Yeah.
How about that?
So now we have this. I'm going to take a picture of this and put it on social media as well. If you're not watching, you can watch DA or on Twitch that you guys can check out. The Bob Ross-esque painting from today. I thought today was a successful Halloween show.
And now if I had that one day earlier, that could have been the perfect segue to make my header picture on Twitter.
That's true. That actually still could be your new header picture.
It probably will be.
As DJ Tommy D, though, points out, who has become a bit of your villain.
Your biographer.
He says, yeah, he says that Mraz is pulling double duty with his costumes. With the fam, he's Monsters, Inc. Without the fam, he's the Mucinex character. And the Mucinex character is that green booger blob guy.
DJ Tommy D, by the way, that's the razor blade guy on Halloween. You got to watch it. That's the one.
Manny in PA says, wow, DA, you mean to tell me that Mraz is Mike Wazowski of Monsters, Inc. and not Shrek?
Again, so now every green creature in every movie is the same thing? Guys, it's one eye and two horns here. Shrek didn't look like this.
Bob tweets, I'm I'd come home when I was a kid with a pillowcase full of candy and couldn't touch a piece until my mom checked it for razor blades. She would dump it out of the table and go through every piece. That was growing up in the 80s. I mean, did anybody ever find a razor blade in their candy? It's such a weird crime also to commit because, what, you do that and then you don't get to see your victim. They just leave and you never have, you know, the satisfaction, I suppose, right, that weirdos get when they see their victim. It's just like, oh, yeah, this kid's going to have diarrhea. I wouldn't even know it. Jeez. Like, that's what that weirdo did.
Well, you don't want to know that part. You don't want to be there for that.
The only thing we did was throw out the candy that was in Ziploc bags. Like I mentioned, the candy corn stuff, but it was always candy you wouldn't want to eat anyway. So I had no problem throwing it out.
Mr. Fahrenheit tweets, in DA, if the 20th anniversary of the infamous Halloween flower sock incident is next year, then when is the anniversary for Sean Forash's flower sock incident, 2026? You're the evil twin of Mraz. When did he suffer the same fate that Mraz did? Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Our guest today, as she always comes in for the Halloween spooktacular, was Katie Linedahl, who was dressed up as the Penguin. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Are you guys ready for the heroine of Halloween, the queen of costumes, the resident of Erie, Pennsylvania?
Bring her on out. Bring her on out.
Okay. Katie Linedahl has just blown the doors off Halloween. We welcome on Katie to the screen.
My name is Oswald Cobblepot.
Just relax. I'll take care of the squealing, wretched pinhead puppets of Gotham. Maybe you're just a screwed up sorority chick who's getting back at her daddy for not buying her that pony when she turned sweet 16.
Or you can call me the Penguin.
Unbelievable.
I am not a human being. I am an animal. Have you guys missed me, my friends?
Danny DeVito.
This is one of the greatest costumes I've ever seen in general. This is the Penguin. This is Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
You're coming with me, you great white dope.
From Batman Returns. Is this not outrageous?
She looks more like the Penguin than Danny DeVito did.
There are penguins squealing in the background right now.
We used a little bit of technology, Bob. Oswald Cobblepot.
Look at the penguin nose. Look at this hat. Look at that.
Every year I go as the most attractive costume. It's every woman's opportunity to really just go for it. And who better to bring it home than Oswald Cobblepot?
My nose could be gushing blood.
You have to love Katie. Forget sexy cats. Forget going as Kim Kardashian. She went as the Penguin this year.
Can't even get in the seat. I had to drive over like this, too.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I just love Katie for that exact reason. When you scroll through Instagram today and over the course of the weekend, Facebook, Twitter, all you're going to see is pictures of women in scantily clad outfits, cleavage, something tight, some type of wig and big eyelashes, some type of sexy something. And Katie's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to wear a fat suit and put on a big hook nose and be the Penguin. So you got to love about her. Just the best. So tomorrow we're going to have Ian Eagle join us on the show, and we're going to talk a little Patriots and Bills. It's a huge game for both teams. He's going to be on the call. So we'll talk about Pat's Bills coming up tomorrow. Plus, Mraz has his football food of the week to get you ready for Halloween parties throughout the country. And we've got Super Dave with his college football picks as well. So tomorrow's a big football day.
Solomon Wilcots too, DA. Solomon Wilcots on the show too.
So we have Ian and Solomon tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a big football day. Big football day.
Oh, that's fantastic. They were once upon a time partners on the NFL right. on CBS broadcast. Cool.
That's right.
So Ian Eagle and Solomon Wilcott, Super Dave and Mraz's football food of the weekend. We'll sprinkle in more Halloween stuff tomorrow morning on the show. Hey, thanks to the whole crew here for making the Spooktacular awesome every single year. Loved it. Loved all the costumes. Loved the fun that we had. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti, with Bacon as your audio director and musical director as well on the Wheels of Steel. We've got Andrew Bogish, the Wizard of Watch DA, and then we've got the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.